Okay, I'll read that.
Thank you very much. Okay, welcome to this cabinet on 13th of October 2022. Just going to run through a few bits and pieces. So this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. In addition, under the local authority's executive arrangements, meetings and access to information England regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. So, first off, we're going to take apologies. We have two different categories of apologies. We've got an actual apology, which is from Councillor Mercer. And we also have two virtual apologies. So we've got Councillor Boker and Councillor Poland up on the screen in front of me for various reasons, which are all too common these days. So welcome to both of you. Can you see and hear me okay, both of you? Councillor Boker.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Councillor Poland?
I can. You to the far left of the screen. The screen's focusing on the door for some reason.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's fine.
I can't see it here.
Yeah, I think it's actually focusing on Alan and Matt. I think that's because where they're sitting, it's automatically doing that. Oh, no, here we go. Swing it around. Okay. Laura has
Laura's
over.
Got the power. Yeah. As ever, Laura's got the power.
Yeah, the ultimate power. Okay, it'll be focusing on the floor if we're too dull. Okay, look, thank you very much for the two of you. So, obviously you can't vote, you can't propose or second, but by all means join the discussion at any point during the meeting. Very, very welcome to hear your comments. So, with that, we go on to item two, which is disclosure of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. I love the new extended words on this one. Do we have any members that need to declare anything under that heading? No, I don't think we do. And likewise, I'm looking at Councillor Boker and Councillor Poland, they're shaking their heads as well, so that's fine. We're now on to item three, which is leaders' announcements. Leaders' announcement, no announcements this evening. Item 4, minutes of the previous meeting. That meeting took place on the 7th of July 2022. Is everyone happy at the content and
yeah,
happy
agree.
For approval? Agree?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, I've signed those off, so thank you very much. Pass those over to Laura at the end of the meeting. Now on to item 5, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. No questions have been submitted. So we're now on to the main part of the meeting, which is item 6. The results of the Digital Transformation Scrutiny Panel. We have Councillor Brooks in the room with us. Good evening, Councillor. And I think you're going to take us through the panel's recommendations and observations. Obviously, we take all reports as read. And we've had a great opportunity to read them all and all well put together. But if you want to summarise the panel's recommendations in sort of a minute or so, and then what we'll do is ask you any points of clarification before we go on for any discussions or questions before making a resolution. So over to you, Councillor Brooks.
Thank you. Good evening, all. I will just start with the foreword of why we decided to undertake the digitisation scrutiny panel in the first place. So, we are living in a society where more of our lives are spent digitally, more of our interactions are done digitally, and we felt that the council needed to reflect that and keep up to date with that and provide our services as easily accessible as possible to our residents. So with that in mind, I understand that you've read the report. The recommendations there are quite a few recommendations. Should we to list through all of them, or just?
I think we're fine because we've got them in the report. So there's three recommendations that you've outlined, haven't you?
Yes. Well,
yes.
There's the panel recommendations and the officers' recommendations.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're happy to take those as read, I'm happy to take any questions as necessary.
Absolutely. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, Councillor Brooks. So are there any questions of clarity that anyone wants to ask Councillor Brooks before we move on to our discussion? I'm looking at the screen at the same time as well. Okay, that's great, thank you very much. Right, we'll go on for discussion. So can I ask you to start off with, I mean, what was, sorry, I'm over to Councillor Apologies.
Thank you.
Councillor, sorry, apologies, this comes
thank
to your area,
you
so you need to actually
know.
Go next, sorry.
No, thank you. So I was just going to say that obviously, I attended a few of the panel meetings, which was really useful.
Yeah.
I think what it showed, from my point of view, is how much the council has done in the last few years, and I can see the end result is that we want to focus more on the website, which of course is in the pipeline. But I think what was particularly interesting is the fact that we did look at an app, or the panel looked at an app and almost ruled that out, which is nice that that piece of work has been done with a more modern take. And I think you'll agree with me that now the focus is very much about making the website as user-friendly, as mobile-friendly as possible, and making sure it's fit for the digital age,
yeah.
Whilst keeping in mind those of our residents that can't use the website, which is obviously something else that came out in your report. But no, from me, I thought it was a useful exercise, and thank you for the work.
No, you're welcome. Yeah, you summed that up very well. The focus did come out that the usability of the website is the core focus. We went out and explored the use of an application, explored the use of that both in the public sector and the private sector. The other councils that have been using the application found very little uptake and very little use, which was a surprise to us. The only councils that had repeat usage of an application were ones where transactions were done regularly. So they had a hook and they had a consistent reason for visitors to return. However, Charnwood Borough Council doesn't offer those same kind of services, so we felt that it wasn't a best practice for us to be able to engage in that. So we discounted that fairly quickly.
Okay, that's interesting. Thank you very much. I was going to ask one supplementary question, because actually I was going to really sort of comment on the same point, which actually was interesting reading the panel, that you know, I think identified the fact that there's a huge amount of work that's been done to update the website and to get a lot of material in there that actually a lot of people found useful. And my only supplementary was recently we've had a couple of occasions where we've needed to update the website very quickly because either something's happened or some functionality needed to be added to one of the forms. And actually the benefit of having the website in-house means that actually that functionality appears overnight. And I suspect that probably for those councils that rely on apps, that actually they rely on actually having to go to a third-party organisation to do that change for them, rather than actually through our comms team and through ICS, who seemingly can literally make it appear within hours. So
yeah, I had a query out of hours, about half eight on an evening, where I just picked up on something that just wasn't right, contacted Mike, and within 20 minutes it was fixed.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of service that we want.
So to be honest, we didn't explore to that great depth as to how reactive an application could be, because it was evident that Charnwood Borough Council didn't need that service. So, but yeah, it's a great point. We do have that ability to be reactive, and to keep that in-house and to be able to manage that is one of our key strengths.
Thank you very much. Right, any other questions, points that anyone
wants to make? I think our current website is really user-friendly as well. When we chatted at, or we discussed at for council about the health and wellbeing services, there's so much information on there, just a tap of a button. And I just think it's actually really good. I think it's taken a while to get there, but I think it's a really good website and really user-friendly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, appreciate the feedback
there. Yeah, just to pick up on one point, one of the key successes through COVID and our ability for our customers to be able to transact with us was the use of the forms, and that is what we've seen as being a huge step forward in our ability to be able to react to our customers' needs. So they have been absolutely fantastic, and the focus has been on to ensure that those are as user friendly as possible, and that's been very positive.
That's good news. Good. Excellent. I'm looking at Councillor Poland and Councillor Boker. Is there any other points that you want to raise, or any points that you want to ask, questions you want, if you want to ask Councillor Brooks? No? Okay, that's great.
No.
Oh. Laura, do the volume. Okay, thanks a lot on that. Okay, can I go back to you, Councillor Rollins, in that case, to move a recommendation?
Yes.
Possibly to go through maybe the slight differences.
Yeah, so we've obviously got the three recommendations from the panel, and then three very slightly tweaked recommendations from the officers. So the officers have gone through the panel's recommendations and just made some very minor amendments, which I don't think are particularly contentious at all.
No.
Just to reflect what practice is already in place in terms of procurement, and how the process of getting our new website live next year will work. So on that basis, I move up the three of the officer recommendations as set out in the report.
Thank you very much. And obviously, noting the panel observations overall as well. So thank you very much for that. And can I invite Councillor Harper Davis to second?
Yes, delighted to second recommendations.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone, thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Poland, would you have voted in favour if you'd been in the room?
I could have been persuaded to, either, definitely, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.
Councillor Boker, how about you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that's everyone in favour, and thank you very much, Councillor Brooks, to you, and also to all of those that were sitting on the panel for the work. Hopefully, we found it very useful reading the panel report, but hopefully all of you found it really useful actually drawing on officers and research and everything else. Yes. Not only about our own organisation, but about others.
Yeah, it was an eye-opener, and I would like to just put into the minutes that thank the officers for their time, and the work that they've been doing is outstanding and is in line exactly as the council should be moving forward, so brilliant.
That's brilliant. That's right, very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you're very welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting. It's completely up to you.
As Councillor Poland could have been persuaded, I'm not sure I could. Right, have a good evening.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Brooks.
Thank you.
Right, okay, we're now on to item 7, which is the solar feasibility. I did this earlier on. My teeth are not operating this evening. The solar feasibility funding update. We also have a scrutiny commission report. I think at Scrutiny Commission it was partly owned by me as a cabinet, but actually we've agreed that actually it's Councillor Rawlings. Apologies to Councillor Seaton, who I think I logged off and quickly logged back on to the meeting when I suddenly realised that my name was actually against it rather than Councillor Rawlings, so apologies for that. But Councillor Rawlings is actually going to move the item this evening. So Councillor Seaton, I'm going to ask you to start off with to present the Scrutiny Commission's report. Then obviously we're going to ask for any points of clarity on the report. And then we've got Justin Henry, who's our Director of Commercial and Economic Development here, to assist online. But I'm also going to ask Councillor Rawlings to say a few words as well. So over to you, Councillor Seaton.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. I want you to take the meeting discussions as read. You'll be glad to hear. And that the Cabinet be informed that the Commission welcomes and supports the recommendations set out in the report of the Strategic Director, Commercial and Economic Development. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of clarity on the Scrutiny Commission's report that anyone wishes to raise? No? Okay, thank you very much, Councillor. That's very, very kind. And I'm going to move now to Councillor Rawlings, if you'd like to say a few words of summary before possibly asking Justin also to add any additional words.
So, of course, sadly, the feasibility work in solar panel or solar farms hasn't come off in the sense that we've done some work and realised that it just isn't feasible at this moment in time. So the money that we had previously agreed to spend on that feasibility work, we're looking to repurpose for other carbon neutral and carbon offsetting goals. So what we've got is a carbon neutral plan which sets out lots of ideas, but that needs a lot of feasibility work to take place before we can move forward with many of those ideas. Over the last number of years, we've reduced our carbon output by quite a lot now, but we've taken the easier wins. Now it's getting into the harder, longer term projects that do require money being spent on feasibility work. So what we're asking Cabinet to do tonight is to repurpose the £150,000 that we were going to use on the solar farm feasibility studies, because thankfully we've got out of that debate quite early on and now we can move on to new ideas. Now we know they're not possible, and we're looking to repurpose that money for other feasibility work to help us achieve our carbon neutral goal by 2030.
Thank you very much. Justin, can I ask if there's anything that you want to add that's either not been covered by Councillor Rawlings or not in the report?
Yes, thank you, Igor, and thank you, Councillor Rawlings. The only point I would add would be absolute clarity on the feasibility. If the feasibility, or the lack thereof, was not down to the business case, but simply the physical infrastructure currently in place for generation. So it's not a case of saying that it wouldn't have done well for us financially or environmentally. It was simply the fact that the grid cannot handle it.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Right, can I ask whether anyone has any questions or any points they wish to raise? Councillor Barclay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really good that we've reduced our carbon output by 40%, and I fully support this paper and understand why. I think it would be really nice if all members were kept updated on our progress. I think there may be, we're talking about getting carbon neutral by 2030. The majority of that may well come towards the end with the renewal of the fleet. But in the interim, I think it would be really good if we could keep members up to date where we're going.
Thank you very much. Very good point. Any other points or questions that anyone should have? Councillor Bailey.
Just very quickly, that I think it's great to the council that we have repurposed this money in the way that we have and not just let it disappear back into a pot.
Yeah.
And that we are still taking this very seriously.
Yeah.
In this such a way that, you know, we are looking at all options available to us, not just single options and
not. Okay. Very good. Councillor Poland or Councillor Boger, are there any points that you want to raise or any questions? No?
For me, no, but okay. Other than just to repeat what's been said in terms of it's great that obviously it shows a commitment to environmental matters, especially at a time when obviously cost pressures are going out elsewhere and it could be very easy not to keep door guns on the wall.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Okay, no other points that anyone wants to raise, so I'm going to go back to Councillor Rawlings if you'd like to make a proposal.
Thank you. So I'd like to move the recommendations 1 and 2 for the reasons 1 and 2 as set out in the report.
Okay, thank you very much. And also noting the Scrutiny Commission recommendation. So I'm going to ask for a seconder. I'm going to second this one. So with great pleasure. So if we can move to a vote, so all of those in favour. That's everyone, thank you very much. And can I ask Councillor Poland and Councillor Boker, if you were in the room, would you have been supporting this item?
I would say yes.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. Okay, in that case, that item is approved. Thank you very much to Justin as well. Okay, we'll now move on to item 8, which is cost of living, support to communities and businesses. This also has a Scrutiny Commission report. There is also a supplementary report for this item, which deals with the position statement referral from full council. But I, perhaps I can ask Councillor Seaton if you could present the Scrutiny Commission report to start off with before we ask any questions apparently to you. So over to you, Councillor Seaton.
Thank you very much, Nina. As with the other one, I wanted to take the meeting discussion as a read. The Commission, having carefully considered those and asked the question for the report, they felt that the Cabinet should approve the recommendations set out. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Seaton? No? Okay, thank you very much for that, Councillor Seaton. We have Rob Mitchell, our Chief Executive, who's on the screen to help with this report. Look, I'm going to cover some of the points that we covered, I think, probably at full council, but also I know we discussed at the Scrutiny Commission report stage, which is that officers had been working on the cost of living points that I think many people have been raising at the full council meeting, but they've been working on these for pretty well the whole of the summer. This is something I think as an organisation we're very aware of, but we're also very aware of our commitments to our strategic partners in particular, but also our own needs as an organisation. And the report that's come to full council today sets out a number of different options of areas that we feel, or officers feel in particular, from the resulting from those discussions, are areas that we should be focusing on as an organisation. And we have initially drawn up an allocation of £180,000, which will draw down from reserves, which hopefully should cover the sort of areas and the sort of needs that have been identified from those discussions. So we clearly have a huge amount of focus on national support as well, which is directed particularly at heating costs. And one of the things that we are doing is, obviously, and it's been referenced before through our website, is signposting people to where, particularly where financial support can be given, whether it's from national government, whether it's from upgrades on home insulations, etc., to make sure that hopefully anyone coming to us will be able to find the appropriate way of being supported over the coming months. As I said, we will also be working with our strategic partners, people like Citizens Advice Bureau, etc., who are also expecting probably an increased demand from residents across the borough. But as I said in the full council meeting, it's also important to remember that our businesses need support, and that's not only the financial support directly from central government, but it's also through people like the BID and through us supporting businesses, promoting businesses, making sure that people still support their local businesses, because they fundamentally are the economic driver of the borough. They employ people, those people that are employed then are able to support their own families, etc. So it's absolutely critically important that it's not just about residents, it's also about businesses. So this is going to be a significant piece of work over the coming months. We know it's only really just starting to begin. As I said, the report starts to establish some of the options that we think we're going to look at. And the £180,000 that we've identified in reserves, which hopefully was sort of made clear during the scrutiny session, is actual cash. It's not people's time. It's not officer time and resources. This is a significant amount of money that hopefully we can use to support the activities associated with the options outlined in the report. So, Chief Exec, is there anything else that you want to add?
Thank you, Leader. Just very briefly to add that the response from our community partners to the direction of travel that we're taking around creating a fund of money to support for food poverty and for supporting vulnerable communities through the charitable sector has been very well welcomed so far. So we've created the Charm Community Action Group and that has really responded very positively. We're starting now to build up some thoughts about how we might direct some of the funding. Just to reassure you that there'll be full sort of process around that. We'll have business cases proportionate to the amount of money that we intend to distribute, and we'll make sure that members are kept up to date with the progress that we're making in regards to the fund and supporting our communities. But the initiative that we're taking, the proactive steps that we're taking, is being warmly welcomed by our partners in the community sector.
Thank you very much. Okay, are there any questions or points that anyone wishes to raise? Obviously, it's quite an open report at the moment, but hopefully we'll be a lot more detailed soon. Councillor Rowan.
Thank you. Just two, if that's okay. So first one, just in relation to council tax. So when a missed payment happens, obviously we send out a reminder letter to residents to let them know that there's a missed payment, or at the end of the year if there is an outstanding balance. The wording on those letters, I appreciate, is quite generic. So it's automated letters that go out, they're not handwritten letters. But it's quite harsh. I had a resident raise it with me a few months back, and I did at the time say it's an auto-generated letter, and it was a very small balance that was outstanding and it had been resolved. So it was fine, and I said, just forget it, don't worry about it. But I think in the situation where we're headed, I think we need to be quite mindful of the language that we're using with residents. I think the wording needs to be softened on those letters that go out to residents if they have got missed payments or balances outstanding. I think we need to be really careful about how we approach that. And it probably goes wider than that as well. So it's probably not just council tax, it's probably other letters that we send out in similar circumstances that we need to review. So I'd like to see a review of our automated letters that go out, particularly when it's debts outstanding. But also a suggestion that we could put a debt advice leaflet in with those letters that go out if it is to do with outstanding balances. I think actually signposting them to services that can help them, I think, would be a useful thing as well. So that's the first point. Second point is just in relation to the business support. So I'm aware that we're going to be working with the bid, but then there will also be some other work that happens, which will be borough-wide, and so not just focused on Loughborough. And that will be some advertising, obviously it will be our social media. On the social media side, there is work that we can do, and there are people we can partner with that are already doing great work. So there are campaigns that are already out there. So we already support Small Business Saturday. We generally kind of share those posts on our social media already, but there are other campaigns out there. And there's one in particular called Just a Card. Now it's not focused on, if you don't know the campaign, it's not focused on card shops. It's a message that focuses on something small. So you can go into a shop and buy just a card, and that helps. And it's equally kind of fits in with just a cup of coffee, or you know, just a pint, or that's the message behind it. But it's a well-established campaign that's out there. They run an Indie Week in November as well. So it's a campaign that supports creatives, designers, small businesses and independent shops. So it's quite a wide scope, albeit it does focus more on the sort of creative industries. It is all independent shops can get involved in it.
Yeah.
They do great graphics online. They have illustrators that get involved with them that they partner with. The social media they do is really strong. And I think I'd really like us to get behind that campaign, kind of come out openly and say we're actually a supporter of the campaign. It's free, it doesn't cost us anything to do. It's additional content for us to share. So it's just getting that message kind of front of mind with residents, which I know the comms team are really focused on anyway. But this just gives them additional content to work with. So I'd like to see that happen as well.
Okay. So we've got a couple of different points in there. I don't know, because obviously we've got Simon in the room as well. So I don't know, can somebody take the point on letters and whether we can sort of have phased language depending on, you know, if it's the first letter dealing with debt versus second letter, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know who wants to take that one between Rob and Simon.
Peter, can I have something as well?
Yeah, no, sure. Okay, Lee. Councillor Harper-Davis.
Thank you. I just want to support what Councillor Rattray says, because I know every time my parents have to come to council to bring in their savings books, because they've had the letter from Capita. My mum was actually in bits because of the letter. Is like Councillor Rattray says, it's a generic letter, but you know, probably okay for our age, but like, you know, vulnerable older people, I think the letter Capita should really look at the generic letters and just make them more friendly, more polite, so that people aren't daunted by having, I know every time I had to be prepared for my mum. She was in tears actually, but I've got to take all my books in and they don't believe what I say, and you know, she was very fretful about that, and I guess I should have bought it by the time, but I didn't. So I think Councillor Rattray is very right. We just need to ask Capita if they can possibly do more user-friendly letters. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Barclay, and then I'll go to
I think there is support there for people who are struggling, and I think the thing I would absolutely emphasise, I take the point about the letters, and yes, I've had residents contact me, but communication is the main thing. People get frightened and don't communicate. We can go a long way towards helping them with council tax support, council tax discretionary support, and working together. In the end, I've had cases where people have had these letters, and a lot of the problem has been caused sometimes by just them not responding or getting in touch with us. And I just want to make the point that you're absolutely right about the letters, but there is help available. It's not limitless, but officers do go a long way to try and help people, and particularly coming into a cost of living crisis, it's important people do come to us if they're genuinely struggling.
Absolutely. Rob, can I come back to you on those points?
Yeah, yes, thank you, Lena, and Simon may have some comments as well. I think we'll take away the points about the letter in terms of the tone and the wording and speak to our colleagues. There is obviously a balance about getting the wording firm enough to ensure that we prompt action, because that's one of the main things we do want people to contact us and talk to us. But hopefully we can do so in such a way that doesn't leave people feeling that they are, you know, being harangued, if you like, by the council in terms of any missed payments. So we'll take that away and have a look. We do need to balance it, as I say, with making sure that we've got the wording firm enough to prompt that action. We do have a range of mechanisms to support people. I think the opportunity to signpost people to debt advice is a good one, so certainly follow that up as well. So I think getting the balance right is going to be key for us, leader, and we'll have a look at the comments made tonight by cabinet and see what we might do to consider those and come back with some suggestions once we've spoken to our colleagues in the CAPTA and other service areas, if that's all right. Simon may want to comment further, but that'd be my take.
Yeah.
In terms of the campaign side of things, do you want to comment on that at this point or we'll come back?
Yeah, no, please, you may as well comment on that one now and then.
Yeah, so I think we're more than happy, perhaps, Councillor Rattray, if we could just have a conversation with you outside to make sure we've got the link to that campaign. We'd be happy to do that. We need to engage with people in areas outside of Loughborough, so yourself and others that have got links into business communities, to make sure that we target our support as best we can. It will need to be focused on independent site businesses, not necessarily just retail, but other independent areas as well, promoting that local, buy local, I suppose, in some ways, and trying to keep support for our local businesses of different types. So definitely have a conversation outside the meeting to inform what we're doing once the Cabinet report is approved tonight, Leader.
Okay, thank you very much. Simon, is there anything you want to add on the first
Not period? Especially. I think I might maybe just reiterate one of Rob's points about the fact that we do need to actually collect this money, which is a tough job. It is going to get more difficult, and it is a balancing act that we need to get in terms of the letters, and actually what we really need to do is elicit the best possible response, which is where if people are having trouble, then as well as local council tax support, we're usually very keen and helpful to individuals to get them on some sort of payment plan, and that's that is a big thing actually. The key thing is to get people to engage with us, because a lot of the problems are when they don't, and then we end up with two letters, three letters, bailiffs, court fees, and then that's when it really does rack up. So getting people to engage with us, I think, is going to be the key trick. And as Chief Executive said, we will take a look at the letters that we issue at the moment.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to go to Councillor Poland now. You've got your hand up, and then I'll go to Councillor Boker.
Thank you, Leader. Yeah, we've obviously heard this evening about the range of sort of help that's available to all residents in Charlwood and indeed businesses. I just wanted to highlight our particular responsibility towards our tenants as the landlords, and we have a good number of tenancy support officers whose job it is to engage with people who are potentially struggling to pay their bills, to pay their rent. There's a range of help we can give them as landlords, and really wanted to highlight that they exist, and that we obviously encourage people to contact them as early as possible. Don't wait until it snowballs. Contact us as early as possible. We're very, very keen to work with residents to solve the problem as early as possible with as least stress as possible for the tenants. I just wanted to put that on the record, really.
Thank you very much, Councillor Boland. And certainly a very, very clear message about early engagement. I think that's probably from all sides. It's when people put their head in the sand and try to ignore the position they're in that actually just gets worse and worse and worse. Councillor Boker.
Thank you, Leader. On the letter about council tax, you do need to ask legal, because when I was involved with this years ago, there is a process, obviously, before going to court. And the court requires clear instruction has been given, and clear not paying has been made. So the problem, you need to soften the letter maybe, but you have to make sure you don't give people get out clauses so that they don't go to court and say, well, I tried to contact the council about it and I couldn't get through, and they said they would help me and blah blah. So you need to check with legal to make sure that the letter is compliant with the legal process that we have to go through to take people to court. So that's that point. And the second point is, whilst I appreciate we've got lots of small businesses in Charnwood, We also have the market where you can economically, or markets in Charnwood, where you can economically buy fruit and vegetable for the whole week, I would suggest for under a fiver, if not less. So I just want to make sure that we push all our markets and food outlets as well, and where our food help centres are, like at John Storehouse.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so look, I think communication, obviously, whether it's through directly to individuals or through what we do as an organisation to support residents and also businesses, I think it's quite clearly going to be key over the coming months. And hopefully, you know, we can do our bit to actually support people over the, particularly over this winter, but also over the coming months beyond that as well. So unless there are any other questions or points anyone wants to make, I'm going to move recommendations 1 to 3 for reasons given 1 to 3 on page 53. I'm going to confirm also that these are an appropriate response to position statement referred to council or by council, which is, as I mentioned before, is in the supplementary report. And also thanking and noting the commission, scrutiny commission's recommendations. So, if I can invite Councillor Bailey to second.
More than happy to second this.
Thank you very much. And see all those in favour. That's everyone. Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Poland whether you would have been in favour if you'd been in the room?
I would have been in favour.
Thank you. And Councillor Boker?
Yes, leader.
Thank you very much. Okay, that's everyone. So that is agreed. Thank you very much also to Duke Sake and all the officers I know that have been working on this over the summer. So, item 9, Charnwood Dog Control, PSPO 2023. This also has a scrutiny commission report. I'm inviting Alan Twills, who's our head of regulatory and community safety, to the table. Good evening, Alan.
Good evening.
We're going to the dogs now, so it's a good opportunity to join us. So, item 9, I'm going to invite Councillor Seaton. You had a scrutiny commission report on this one as well. So I'm going to invite Councillor Seaton to give her report before we ask any questions of clarity. Over to you, Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, leader. I'd like the cabinet to take this as read, please. The responses as read. And that the cabinet be informed that the commission welcomes and supports the recommendations set out in the report of the head of regulatory and community safety. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Seaton. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to raise, Councillor Seaton? Councillor Redwick, can I?
Just one very briefly, Councillor Seaton, could you just verbally confirm whether the Scrutiny Commission wanted option 1 or option 2? You'd just be useful to have that on the minutes.
It is. It's on recommendation 4. Option 1 was the most appropriate course of action, as it was considered that applying the restriction to dogs on leads on the playing fields indicated on the map was not required. The commission, we did have a big discussion on this, and it didn't meet the criteria for changing the use to dogs as directed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to ask Councillor Ratway to do a short introduction to this item. I'm going to ask then Alan to add some additional words. So over to you, Councillor.
Thank you. So the report is to seek approval of the notice of intention and upon expiry of the 28-day notice period to approve the public space protection order for Charnwood, Control of Dogs 2023 under the provisions of the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act 2014. The Act brought in public space protection orders for the control of a range of ASB issues, including problems relating to dog control. The existing PSPO was introduced on the 7th of January 2020 and will expire on the 6th of January 2023. There are 4 main areas within the order, which are dogs fouling, dogs on leads, dogs on lead by direction, and dogs excluded. The main proposals for changes to the current PSPO include two options for Stonebow Washlands in Loughborough, new locations for dog exclusion zones, which are a number of children's play parks, and a new location for dogs on leads at the churchyard in Newtown Linford. The options for Stonebow Washlands are option one, to continue with additional measures that were introduced earlier this year, or option two, extend these measures to a wider zone shown in the report. The wider zone includes an area currently used by dog walkers where dogs are allowed to play off-lead. In establishing which restrictions or requirements should be included in the PSPO, the Council needs to ensure that the measures are necessary to prevent a detrimental effect for those in the locality or reduce the likelihood of the detrimental effect continuing or recurring. These measures need to be proportionate to the behaviour the order is seeking to prevent. This order is mainly seeking to renew measures we already have in place as a borough, with a few mentioned amendments.
Thank you very much. Al, can I ask you whether there are any other points that aren't in the report or haven't been covered by Councillor Atway that you want to add?
Thank you, Leader. I think that was a very comprehensive introduction. Just a couple of points there. Just to confirm, we did quite an extensive consultation exercise during the summer, which is highlighted in the background papers which you have had. And also, obviously, the clarity in terms of the area that's located within the report. And also, one other point is if we don't go to the notice of intention and then go to the public space protection order's introduction, there will be no controls in place across the whole of the borough because we have to bring them in through this process. The only controls that we have is individual social behaviour powers if the PSPO is not brought in.
Thank you very much. A sober reminder that we've got to go get on with it. Thank you very much for the reminder. So, are there any questions or points anyone wants to raise to start off with? Can I just raise the point, because I think we've talked about option one, option two, and I appreciate it's been covered at length through Scrutiny Commission debate, but also in the report it's outlined it. And I have, over the last couple of years, as I know probably a number of councillors have, been copied into various emails that have talked about the one incident that I think has been referred to in the report. It is, but I'm also, there has been a fair amount of debate, I think it's true to say, from people who feel that one incident should not necessarily be detrimental to all the remaining dog walkers and dog owners who have been behaving and acting accordingly over a significant period of time. And clearly option one is sort of the status quo, but having been amended to take account of what happened there, option two is obviously quite an extensive moving beyond those barriers.
Yeah, just for clarity's sake, yeah. Sorry if I may. In terms of the one, obviously the incidents we have to look at, this is antisocial behaviour powers. So it's antisocial behaviour we're looking at in terms of the control of the dogs and the aggressive nature of those dogs in terms of the community impact. So that's what we're looking at, which is why we said that the one incident will of note. Yeah. But obviously there are other incidents that have happened against wildlife. I don't want to diminish that. Yeah. There are other incidents that happen against wildlife which have been highlighted, but in terms of the antisocial behaviour aspect of it, that was obviously the one incident we were aware of and needed action taken.
Indeed. Thanks for the clarity on that one. But yes, absolutely, that's the one that met the threshold. Councillor Everett.
I just thought it was worth mentioning as well, Councillor Harris was in the scrutiny meeting and he's the ward councillor for the area, so he's had quite a lot of contact over quite a long period with certain residents who've been pushing for the extension, and he was actually quite positive and pleased that the amendment had already happened for what's already been done, so what option one is, but he wasn't pushing for option two.
No, and I think it's fair to say that had also been commented on, I think, in some of the email exchanges as well, because I think people have been aware that there had been some changes, but to make further ones was probably excessive. Councillor Buckley, you've been saying okay. Any other points anyone wishes to raise? Councillor Poland or Councillor Boker? No? Okay. So, Councillor Redway, can I ask, I mean, option one seems to be probably the preferable option of the two proposed. Can I ask you, as lead, relevant lead member, whether that you agree with the Scrutiny Commission's discussion and also the sort of comments that have been made this evening?
Yeah, I do. Do you want me to go ahead with the proposal?
If you would like to, yes.
Yeah, so I move recommendations 1 to 7 with option 1 for recommendation 1 on page 68 and for reasons 1 to 7 on page 69.
Okay, and that's option 1. Okay. So, can I ask a seconder?
I have a second, I'll leave it.
Councillor Barclay, okay, thank you very much. And obviously noting the Scrutiny Commission's recommendation as well. So, can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Can I ask Councillor Poland and Councillor Boko, if you've been in the room, whether you would have voted in favour?
I would have leader, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, leader.
Thank you very much. Okay, that would have been everyone. Thank you very much. So that item is approved. We're now on to item 10, which is Bradgate Park Dog Control PSPO 2023. So again, there was not a Scrutiny Commission report on this one. So, Councillor Season, I think your job's done for the evening. I've just realised. I thought you were going to have a clean sweep and do a Scrutiny Commission report on every single item this evening. But so can I just formally say, because I should have said it under item 9, thank you very much to you and Scrutiny Commission's work on this agenda.
You're welcome. And good night.
Thank you and good night. Thank you. Okay, so without the benefit of a Scrutiny Commission review, item 10 was Bradgate Park Dog Control Order. So, Councillor Atwood, can I ask you to say a few words before asking Alan to add anything else?
Yes, of course. Slightly briefer intro. So this report is to see the approval of the notice of intention and upon expiry of the 28-day notice period to approve the public space protection order for Bradgate Park and Swidland Wood Control of Dogs 2023 under the provisions of the Antisocial Behaviour Crime and Policing Act 2014. There are four main areas within the order which are dog fouling, dogs on leads, dogs on lead by direction and dogs excluded. These measures are already in place and are working well. The new order will look to continue the measures currently in place which are clearly marked on the map. Failure to comply with the order can result in a fixed penalty notice of £100. Any enforcement of legislation should be balanced with the need to educate people about the potential sanctions they may encounter if they do not comply with the law. The rangers on site have a policy where they ask the member of public to comply with the restrictions and they will only get a fixed penalty notice if they refuse or fail to comply at a later point.
Okay, thank you very much. Alan, can I ask you if there are any other points that you want to make?
Can you do that again, a comprehensive introduction there. I think the only other point to make on this particular one is again to state that obviously there was a consultation exercise prior to this report coming before you, which was through June to August this year. No significant negative comments were raised. Most were in support of the ongoing controls.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, are there any comments or questions that anyone wishes to raise? This seems to be a reasonably straightforward item.
Yeah.
No? Okay, no questions. Councillor Boko or Councillor Poland, are there any points you want to raise on this one?
No, leader.
No? Okay, thank you very much. Okay. In that case, I'm going to go back to Councillor Ratway to make a proposition.
I move recommendations 1 to 6 on page 87 of the report, reasons 1 to 6 on pages 87 and 88.
Thank you very much. Councillor Barclay.
Happy to second that, leader.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Councillor Poland, if you've been in the room, would you have voted in favour?
I would have voted in favour.
Thank you very much. Councillor Boker.
Yes, leader. I'm running out of battery, so I might disappear.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, no problems. Okay, we'll now move on to item, so that's in favour. Thank you very much, approved. Thank you very much, Alan, as well. Item 11, this is the urgent decision taken, Council Tax Energy Rebate Scheme. We have Karen Woodson here who will hopefully be able to assist, but also obviously other officers as well. Rob Mitchell, who's our chief exec, and also Simon Jackson, who's our 151 officer. Hopefully, everyone's read the report. It's very straightforward, and the reasons for the decision being taken as an urgent decision that are also very, very straightforward. So are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask on this one? No? Okay. Councillor Bogus, all the battery. No, no questions. Okay, so I'm going to move officer action requested, which is on agenda page 99, for the reason to ensure that the action has been reported to the Cabinet in accordance with the requirements of the Council's constitution. Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to second?
Yeah, I'm happy to second that, leader.
Okay, can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone, thank you very much. Councillor Poker, before your battery goes, if you've been in the room.
Yes.
Councillor Poland, likewise.
Likewise, leader.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that's everyone, thank you very much. And she's gone. The battery. she's gone for a large glass or something, I suspect. So thank you very much. That ends the meeting of this cabinet.